Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's Friday. And that's exciting on many levels. First, because I woke up in time for the show. And second, it's the show. It's Friday. We get to do the show. Third, I get to hang out with so many amazing people. And fourth, it turns out Mueller's back from the dead and is hanging out in the chat room today. So it's just a win all the way around. I am so happy to see all of you. Ben, how are you today?
I am great, Jeff, except for, you know, basically getting up right before the show and having snow once again on the ground.
Hey, it's an hour later for you. That gave you an hour head start on me.
I have cats that don't want me to sleep.
Fair enough. I have cat who doesn't want me to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that office manager is like...
Yep.
What a slave driver.
Yep. My office manager, she's pretty strict about schedules. Yep. Yep.
You guys could implement my solution. No cats. Or dogs.
Then who's going to be
ducks,
the manager?
Ducks would be way better.
Ducks, yes, ducks.
Ducks, dogs.
Oh, dogs, whatever. Yeah, ducks. Dogs too.
Yeah, ducks would be fun too, but dogs. Dogs are fine. Like they just enjoy being with you. They don't want to bother you. They're like, hey.
Chickens, they're good too.
They taste yummy.
Especially barbecue.
I actually have a chicken. It's not here at my place. It's at my friend's chicken coop. And one of the benefits of helping someone build their chicken coop is that they, as part of the payment, they will buy you a chicken, and now you have your own chicken and so you get your own eggs. So I have this Americana. And she's just a little egg factory. And I do remind her every time I go over to visit that she is the final outcome of millions of years of evolution. She is the answer, the outcome of apex predators. She's my little fluffy dinosaur.
Yep. You know, Jeff, you could, these days you could trade her for a fully specced out MacBook Pro.
You know, I figure as long as I let her keep making eggs, I can buy Mac after Mac after Mac.
Yeah. Income stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she lays eggs fast enough that I think I'm up to a Mac mini and a half right now.
That is sweet.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Same as Ben. It's kind of, I mean, it's like, what is it? 5:15 p.m. It's still too early for me. So there's that. no, like the same. Snowing. I hate snow. So there's that. Yeah. It's Friday. It's always a good day. Once the workday is over, Friday is a really good day.
I agree. Yep. And I'm glad you're indoors where it's warm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, relatively. I mean, like, we're still all trying to conserve a little bit of energy. So, like, it's probably not as warm as it could be, but it's okay. It's not
I'm
as cold as outside.
I'm glad you're indoors where it's above freezing.
Yeah, that exactly. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. Awesome. Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's Friday, the end of a busy week. Busy week coming up next week, but at least the weekend is in between.
That's true. Look at that. Chuck, he's our little resident philosopher. you know, I feel my horizons broadening right now.
Next week, I will discuss the meaning of life.
42. Sweet. Sweet.
No, that's not the meaning of life. That's the answer to life and everything. Mm-hmm. The universe and everything.
Yeah. So the bigger discussion is all about 42. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Bob Beach is asking Robinson. Monty Python. No, but so close. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be here. It's Friday, and yes, it is very cold here, and we're getting lots of snow, and I think it's going to get even colder. So I'm wearing my heavier shirt here to stay warm, but it's...
David finally took out the long sleeve shirts.
I did. No, yeah, got the long sleeves here.
Yeah. It's below 20 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, no, it's going to get down in the teens. It was the teens this morning. I was freezing.
See, yeah, and it's like, oh, it's finally time to get out the longer sleeve shirts.
Yeah. So, but doing good. Great. Glad to be here.
Awesome. I almost just said, who has the first story? And then I realized, no, that's
you
me.
Do.
I have the first story. I have
the first story. Dave has all of them.
Yeah, so I guess technically Dave has the first story because we are working from Dave's show notes from the iOS show. Although I may actually have a story that wasn't on your list. We'll know when we get to it. You can tell me.
Nope, I wasn't there.
Yeah, this one I definitely know is there. I should tell people what it is. All right. So Apple has reportedly stopped working on their own in-house Wi-Fi chip designs, which would have ended up in the iPhone. But I mean, once Apple has the chip, eventually it would end up in all of their own products. Mm. So this report... I take with a hefty grain of salt because it comes from Ming-Chi Kuo, and
usually wrong.
Yeah, Ming-Chi I mean, so okay. Here's my take on their reports. They get a piece of information, and there's a nugget of truth in the information, and then they interpret that. And what we get out of that interpretation is wrong sometimes.
I mean, it's very clear they have like some people in the supply chain. So if there's something supply chain related, like, and not, I mean, like design of the supply chain, but more, okay, production, we're producing this, mm-hmm. that, whatever, or we have an issue here with production, they usually at least close enough. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they hear something out of this, I guess they hear something out of the supply chain that is like, whatever, someone in the supply chain heard that they were supposed to I don't know, do a pre-production run for something that was postponed, and then they just run with that. And run wild, because the information is not, like, there's not enough information to really know what's going on. Because all mm-hmm. of that happens in Cupertino and doesn't seem to have any access to the information there.
Yes. And yeah. And in this case, he's saying that the two points that pushed Apple to put their chip design on hold was that there's a new Wi-Fi standard that's coming. Mm-hmm. To be fair, there's always a new Wi-Fi standard that's coming. And Apple's intention to transition into 3-nanometer chips.
I have a theory there. I think mm-hmm. I think this is an this is something. This is a result of all the supply chain issues we've had with chips the last couple of years. That Apple simply said, "Okay, like we could try to start implementing our own chip here and." Like that's going to be hard, and it's even harder when you're basically starting from scratch. Or we can go with someone who's doing it a million times for now. Just make life a little simpler.
Mm-hmm. And I actually have a different theory.
Okay, let's hear it.
Apple's modem division was purchased from Intel.
Let me guess, they gave Apple the bad designers?
I mean... they're working from Intel's IP on that, which was never all that successful compared to Qualcomm. Mm. I mean, it could be Apple gave a go at it. And quite frankly, Broadcom and Qualcomm's engineers were just better.
Well, Broadcom and Qualcomm, they do the combo chips, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple's chip reportedly is just Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So they would still need a Bluetooth chip from Qualcomm anyway. Mm-hmm. Or Broadcom. I don't know which one they're using.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I'm assuming Broadcom, but I don't know for sure.
Not as if we knew anything.
Or Qualcomm.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's very simple. Apple can't do everything.
Yeah.
So I have a theory, too.
Oh, I can't wait. Please.
Oh.
Because everything that everybody said makes a lot of sense. But and I don't want, Jeff, I don't want to get ahead. I'm not sure if this is on the roster for today. But we've seen all these discussions about tech companies layoffs and everything. And I just have to wonder that, you know, if a different kind of cost cutting measure might be instead of getting rid of people, to just, you know, ease back on some projects and reassign folks.
And oh, for sure.
This mm-hmm. doesn't seem like this would be a super high priority. It might be something nice to have, but I don't mm-hmm. know that Apple can't buy it somewhere else. And so instead of, you know, wasting or to pull back costs a little bit, just say, okay, for the foreseeable future, we're going to let somebody else do the development. We're just going to do the implementation.
Yeah. I mean, that also makes sense. Like, I mean, Apple is usually a pretty long-term company, and this is for sure a long-term play, because short-term, that makes no sense to develop your own Wi-Fi chips. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It might just be that they're saying, okay, let's just save some money in the short term. We can always restart it. Like, nothing's mm-hmm. stopping them from doing it in a couple of years.
Chuck, I do
yeah,
like that.
Or they just reduce, yeah. Or they just reduce it and say, okay, I don't know, out of the, let's say, 10 people who work on it, 8, we're going to shift somewhere else and work on something that's maybe a little bit higher priority and more important and makes more money. And the other two are going to continue slowly. And then in 2 years, we're going to see what changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thought, too, was the fact that, you know, Wi-Fi 6E is coming and a Wi-Fi 7 is going to be right behind it, that they just didn't have the resources ready to ramp that up, because rumors are saying that iPhone 15 is probably going to have this Wi-Fi 6E. And I don't know if that's pretty short term to be ready to do that. Then they maybe they thought, well, maybe we hold off another year before we jump into it.
I mean, there could be even another reason for it, and maybe it's all of the above. Like, what if they just couldn't find enough people and they had to prioritize projects?
Yeah.
Also a reason to say, hey, we have something else. I don't know. They have to work on 5G or 6G or whatever is coming. And we can't find enough people to fill those positions, because I'm guessing those are quite specialized skills that you would need. So, okay, do we really need a Wi-Fi chip? No. It's like, is 5G or 6G from us more important than Wi-Fi? I guess so. So maybe just shift people there.
You know, Apple is conservative with hiring. Mm-hmm. And Chuck alluded to the tech sector layoffs. Apple really isn't part of that. And if you look at Apple's growth through hiring over the past few years, mm-hmm. it's just a fraction of what these other companies have been doing.
Don't overhire.
That's not what Apple does. They're, at least right now, excuse me, mm-hmm. they have not been overhiring. And I could see where a combination of all of our theories would play together and tie into the number of people that they actually do have available.
You know, 2 points on that. First of all, sort of off topic, I just look at some of these tech layoffs and I just think this is, I mean, I feel bad for the people laid off. This is an indictment of management, though. to overhire by that many people or decide that you have that much fat and you can just arbitrarily cut it, you know, in with such short notice. I mean, I can understand the downsizing gradually as you maybe close projects out or whatever. But for those kind of numbers, that's just, I mean, their stock should take serious hits and their management should be called into serious question. And I forgot my second point. Shoot.
Well, I'll add my point to yours, which is that if you're going to hire that many people and you're going to run your business numbers just based on a spreadsheet, which means you're going to get rid of those people so that you keep certain numbers higher, why don't you instead, as the leadership, take pay cuts yourself instead of treating your employees as nothing more than a cell entry on a spreadsheet?
Jeff,
that's
it, Patrice. You know, I've often pushed back on arguments about executive compensation because it's okay to do that when you're in place. But the simple fact of the matter is to hire these quality people and, you know, not all of them are quality. I know we're not going to go down that path, but you know, you've got to pay what they're worth. You got to pay what they can bring in, or they're going to just go somewhere else and you're going to end up with Fred Flintstone running your company. So, you know,
depending on the company.
In the rock business.
I do get what you're saying. However, as a leader, it's really good optics for your company, for your staff, if you say, look, I'm in charge, we know times are going to be tough, I want to take care of our staff, therefore I am choosing to have my pay reduced by whatever percent, and my entire C-suite is standing with me and they have agreed that they will reduce their pay by the same amount, therefore we don't have to lay off all these people.
Well, not as much, at least. I mean, the numbers don't add up completely, but you would at least be able to keep some people or have less of an impact.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, right, 10,000 people is a lot of money if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So,
but on the other hand, the conversation of like certain top level managers at Microsoft and Apple, I mean, they could. Microsoft and Google and Facebook and so on, they could reduce it by a couple million, and that would be, I don't know, 10 jobs or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Jeff, your point is well taken, and Tim Cook just did that, as a matter of fact.
He did. But you know, he did 50% compensation cut.
Yeah, right? I mean, he was asked by the investors basically to do it.
Yeah,
and he said, "Yeah, I'll do that."
Yeah. Well. Right. That's it. You know, he agreed to it. Hey, my second point was not even my point. It was Bob Beach's. And I agree with it, going back to a little earlier in the discussion. Bob says even Apple suffers from scarce resources and opportunity costs. That's something that, again, people overlook. But, you know, it's so simplistic to say, oh, Apple has all the money, they can do anything. Well, you know, no. I mean, you can't buy all the talent because not all the talent is going to come work for you. Yeah. And maybe you have acquired all the talent that is on the market or that you could successfully steal from competitors, and it's not sufficient to do the things you want to do yet. So it's going to take more time.
Especially given the constraints that you also put on it. Like sometimes it's about location that Apple says, okay, we want to have the people in certain locations. Doesn't have to be Cupertino, but like... I don't know, maybe it's Austin, doesn't matter. Like, but they say, oh, we want people there in the office, and some person says, no, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Easy as that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, as long as we're talking about stuff Apple's not doing, here's another one Apple's not doing, apparently, which is working on a second generation HomePod Mini. So... apparently, Apple's full of surprises. They gave. We talked about the second gen HomePod last week, right? Because that announcement came out before the show. Okay, in my defense, everyone, I typically don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So the fact that I can't remember what we talked about on the show last week is no surprise.
I think we did, yeah.
Okay, we'll pretend like we did, regardless. And yeah, anyhow, so Mark Gurman from Bloomberg, Mark, who has a much better track record of having legit inside information into
Apple. He has all of it.
Yeah, he does. Occasionally his info is wrong, but that happens so rarely that it's surprising when Gurman has it wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes that, like, being wrong is just about, okay, not being right at the right time.
True. And in some cases, it's when the information was presented, it was correct, and then Apple pivoted, mm-hmm. and Mark didn't get the information about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but where we are right now, Mark is saying that from his sources that he doesn't think that Apple's working on an updated HomePod Mini.
Is that a surprise?
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
It took this long for Apple to do the HomePod update. It doesn't feel like they've invested a lot anyway in the whole HomePod line. I'm guessing on the spreadsheet it's a lot of money still, but like if you look at the software side and everything, like there's huge gaps of what it could be and what it is. So yeah. Is that a surprise?
Here's the other thing on that. The efficiency core generation in the S7 is one generation newer than the S5.
Mm-hmm.
They just brought the new HomePod, just basically brought everything up to Mac or HomePod Mini specs,
but with more speakers.
With more speakers, which you need a little bit more computational power for. I don't see the reason for another HomePod Mini right now. I mean, you haven't seen Apple's principal competition on this area, Sonos, update the one just because.
All right, here's a problem that I see, and this is a problem with consumers, not with the device makers. And the problem is that we have been conditioned to expect, actually it is a problem with the device makers because they created this situation for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have been conditioned to expect that every year there's a new version of everything. And when that doesn't happen, then all the talk about, they're falling behind. They can't innovate. All of those stories just start going around. Products like a speaker don't need to have a refresh every year. And honestly, I don't think products like the watch need a refresh every year either.
I mean,
not since the S6, S7, and S8 have been the same generation core.
I see your argument, and I was thinking about that too. Like, what is there for Apple to do? But the truth is, if Apple wanted to, they could innovate in that space. They could push it forward on the hardware side and on the software side. They totally could do that. They're choosing not to. And then, if they were pushed, if they really put significant resources behind it and said, okay, we're going to really push the envelope here, I don't even know what that would look like. But if they really wanted that, and if they saw that as a worthwhile investment, I mean, that's I think, the big point here. If they saw that as, oh, this is a big, this is a iPhone level or at least Apple Watch level device, and if we put enough behind it, we can make this a massive success and make billions and billions of dollars. They could totally do that. And then we would probably have, maybe not every year, but every whatever year and a half, 2 years, a new iteration. But Apple probably looked at the numbers and looked at the market and said, it's not big enough for that. And I can totally understand why. And the HomePod is selling just fine. The HomePod Mini is selling just fine. So nobody else on the market is doing it either. Like, I mean, it's like minus the Amazon Echo with the display. I think I haven't seen anything massive on the speaker market.
So I think Bob Beach and I are, I don't know, we're sharing a brain today or something, because he said, I don't think consumers do expect a new model each year. Mm-hmm. It's tech pundits and journalists who expect it, even demand it. Otherwise, they have nothing to write or talk about, which I think that is a really, really good point. Mm-hmm. Patrice, I disagree with you a little bit. I mean, at some point, how are you going to push the envelope on a $99 speaker? Now, it's a whole lot easier to push it on a much higher speaker, but and
they Apple still didn't.
They still didn't. But Apple, you know, look, they've got a well priced entry level smart home speaker that you know, as to your point, sells really well. Also, from a business standpoint, you know, they're going to make more money as time goes on for the investment they've made in the HomePod mm-hmm. Mini. And how much more money and really how much else could they do? We don't know what they could do in this form factor. But on the other hand, if you need a different form factor or want better sound or more capabilities, you've got now the full-size HomePod Gen 2. So,
but the full-size HomePod Gen 2 is kind of proof to what I just said. They could have pushed it forward. And they decided not to. That was a decision. They could, I mean, we've had all those rumors and discussions and whatever about, oh, is there like an iPad and like all the crazy ideas. And they very clearly didn't after many, many years.
Okay, but so how has the HomePod 2 really pushed things that much farther?
It hasn't.
Exactly.
That's the point. That's exactly the point. If they wanted to, they could have, and they very clearly decided not to. And that should tell you something.
It tells me that it's good enough. And good enough not for the real super stereophiles who, you know, use gold-plated connectors, but for a smart home speaker. You know, I mean, we've watched Amazon try to you know, rev their line constantly. And it's like, okay, other than adding a screen to it, what exactly have you guys done to it? And the answer is not a lot.
To be fair, you can't compare Amazon and Apple when it comes to hardware. Like when it comes to creative ideas, what you could do. The original HomePod was pushing, in some sense, pushing things forward. But I think to your point, it's good enough for the investment, for the market, and for, I think, the money that they could make. Like I said, if Apple saw that they could make, I don't know, another $200 billion a year with like a HomePod-like device, I'm pretty sure they would push it. But they don't. And I think they know more than we do.
I hear your point. And I look at, you know, I think there is a fair comparison to Amazon simply because, and listen, and the Google device too, because both of those, you know, are, they all play in the same space. Some play at a higher level, some play at a lower level, but is anybody really trying to innovate in this space else do you need from a smart speaker? You know, Apple other than better recognition.
Apple tried. That was what the HomePod was about. Otherwise Apple would have never done it.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And now, okay, so now we have room recognition. We have maybe I haven't listened to one, so I'm going by reviews, but we have a HomePod with fewer tweeters and fewer microphones that allegedly sounds just as good. I haven't seen a negative review on it yet. So, okay, Apple took out some parts, they made it a little more efficient. Is that pushing things forward? I don't know. There's an argument to be made there, but
that's exactly my point. They didn't push it forward because I think they don't feel it's worth it.
All right. I'm going to throw out a crazy idea that I came up with just now. Look, Dave leans back. He's like, "All right, here I come." Like,
okay. Have you ever come up with ideas that weren't crazy, Jeff?
There was one time at band camp. No, wait, yeah. That was a different thing. Okay. So here's the crazy idea I came up with. What if Apple is pushing the market forward and they gave us a sleeper launch for what's coming? What if they needed the new chip in the full-size HomePod so that everything's lined up with the HomePod and HomePod Mini for the next step, which is software changes that allow us to do things like take a couple HomePods, second gen, a couple HomePod Minis, and through software, start creating things like surround sound systems.
Totally like possible.
It. Yep.
I like it.
And that would not be unlike Apple, one or two, three steps ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure, but I mean, we were talking about the hardware side, and on the hardware side, I think that there is clear indication that what they have right now seems to be good enough. What they've had for the last 2 years, to be honest, is good enough.
Mm-hmm. And my crazy idea,
which is fair because they haven't used it on the software. Like the software side is severely lacking. So mm-hmm.
it very much is. And honestly, you know, that idea I threw out, that's not innovation. Mm-hmm. That's just bringing what Apple's doing in line with some of the things that Sonos mm-hmm. is doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there can be innovative software solutions that we haven't thought of, that Sonos hasn't thought of, like. To say mm-hmm. they don't have something in the pocket.
I want to bring up one point that was discussed on my show. It may have been discussed here. I think it was discussed on a number of shows that with the original HomePod, when they discontinued the original HomePod, that there was a lot of discussion about how long it was going to be supported and how long do things need to be supported, but especially in a world now where it seems like everything is turning disposable, how long does a speaker need to be supported? I mean, I have some very nice speakers in my basement that if I have an amp and plug them in now, they'll function just fine. Smart mm-hmm. speaker, might they require updates and everything to work with the current systems, mm-hmm. And Bluetooth, the Bluetooth we talked about earlier, the spec is evolving. And so at what point do you say, hey, who was it that just their cameras have just been end of life? I can't think of.
That happens just often enough that I can't remember.
Yeah, but there was one that just happened. But, and that begs the question, okay, I buy a security camera. How long should I expect that security camera to be good for before it turns into a brick? And so, you start thinking about speakers. I mean, speakers to me even have more longevity or should have more mm-hmm. longevity. And so
I mean,
this too
in decades sometimes. I mean, measured in decades. It's not even years.
Right, until we hit the smart speaker market. And then mm-hmm. you start to ask a whole different question than it was just the speakers from Altec Lansing or whomever.
Mm-hmm. Muller chat room is bringing up a good point. Sonos pissed off their customers when they bricked a bunch of speakers, intentionally mm-hmm. bricked speakers.
Yep.
But here's the one thing that leaves me a little bit hopeful. The original Apple TV third or fourth generation, now called the HD, is running an A8. And is still supported. The HomePod would need even less overhead. The original HomePod would even need less overhead using that same A8 to remain valid.
Yeah, there are no apps on it. Literally, no apps.
It could be supported for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, it's not going to be my 1970s, this almost as tall as I am speakers, but as far as I see them having a little bit longer life than Sonos. That's all Sonos sells is speakers.
And Bob Beach in the chat room was saying he had a pair of speakers for 20 years and they still worked fine. I think my mom has like pretty big speakers that I don't even remember when they bought it. It must have been before I was born. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah, my parents have a pair of Bozak cabinet speakers. You know, the speakers are furniture. They're, and they've had those for probably 60 years. Mm-hmm. And while the cabinet style is dated, the speakers are insane still. Mm-hmm.
Well, and look, we just had a bunch of not controversy, but some discussion over the fact that, gee, I can't do a stereo pair with, I can't buy a new home. Let me try again. Sorry. I can't buy a Gen 2 HomePod and pair it with a first gen HomePod and create a stereo pair. You know, I have to have either two Gen 1s or two Gen 2s or two Mac Minis. I can't even mix them. So, you know, there you go. I mean, Ben, your point is so well taken, except that, you know, less support. Yeah, still support. Still have to have it.
You know, I didn't think this topic was going to run as long as it did.
Jeff, think about who you have on the show.
Exactly.
I know better. All right. So maybe I do want to do one more topic before we get on to cool things. So this one's a little Star Trek-y. Thank you, Ben. So here's the deal. Apparently Apple is hoping that when they get their AR/VR headset up and running, that people will use Siri to program with it. And by that, what I mean is you'll be able to use voice commands to create apps that are designed specifically for the headset. So, you know, that'd be like a little bit Star Trek holodeck where people go in and just start talking and say, computer, do this and this, and now you have a program.
Yeah, I mean, that's like ChatGPT or GitHub's Copilot, basically, which I was just thinking about that. Like Siri, I mean, we've all said, oh, Siri could be better and Siri hasn't really progressed as much. And I'm kind of thinking, because we just talked about maybe Apple has something big on the horizon. Maybe a big overhaul of Siri is part of that. Because it would be, I think it would be required for the headset to work at all, to be honest.
Good point. And from my perspective, Siri definitely needs an overhaul. I could spend a whole show just ranting about the Siri related issues that I have, which is also kind of funny that I would rant about the problems. When you look at how sophisticated this technology is, the fact that I can just talk and a speaker or a phone or a watch can hear what I'm saying and respond in some way. Holy crap. That's in and of itself is crazy, but it's frustrating because it doesn't respond correctly most of the time.
Yeah, it has the intelligence of probably a 1-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, I'd say my response success rate is on par with talking to my cat. I mean, she knows when she's supposed to get down, but she will oftentimes look at me like, and what are you going to do about it?
but that means your cat is much smarter than that.
Yeah. Or the cat has not been put in its place.
Bob Beach is saying that Siri always works fine for him. Maybe he doesn't use it enough. I don't know.
There is something to that. I mentioned that yesterday. I use Siri all day, every day, probably hundreds of things, little things, big things. And there is a failure, I would say once every 2 days or something, I have something that doesn't work. Some of it is probably that I've learned what not to do, but it still works mostly fine.
Jeff, you, mm-hmm. I know you've made that comment on a number of different times on different shows. I have to ask you, are you just a little bit of an edge case? Because
oh, it's totally possible.
You know, I mean, because I know you are advanced, I think, with trying to get Siri to do a number of things, especially smart home things. And I'm wondering if that is just whether it's Siri breaking down, whether it's the chains of commands, not that they're incorrectly programmed, but that just somewhere in there, you know, there's a straight cosmic ray and they get interrupted or screwed up, as opposed to just, you know, a simple, well, hey, S-Lady, turn on this. Hey, S-Lady, turn off that. I'm like Patrice. The biggest issue I ever have with Siri is if I tell it to cancel something, especially a reminder, you know, it will say that's taking too long. But other than that, I just don't have that many failures, but I'm also not doing anything nearly as sophisticated as you are.
It's totally possible that the problems that I experience are isolated. Me alone, me and a very small minority of users. The big consistent thing that I'm having right now, and see, we're off topic, but whatever.
When are we ever on topic?
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Since the 16.3 update, when I ask Siri to do anything HomeKit related at all, which can be as simple as turning on a specific light, something that's not part of a bigger shortcut or automation routine. Consistently, and when I say consistently, I'd say nearly 100% of the time, my HomePod will say, something has gone wrong, try again in a few minutes. Now, when I say the same command again, then it does what it's supposed to. I don't even have to wait for the HomePod to finish with a statement. As soon as it starts talking, I will just give the command again, and it works immediately.
Yeah. That could be a problem in your HomeKit network. I had the same thing, and it, for me at least, it turned out to be actually the old Apple TV that was somehow slowing things down that had to go through Thread. And then it would fail on HomeKit and on Siri, like on the HomePod.
I fixed this before.
Yeah, and I fixed that. I just turned off the HomeKit functionality, the whatever it's called, Home Hub, I think, functionality in the old Apple TV I have. And then since then, everything is fine.
Bob Beach is pointing out that he's having the same problem, but not with his minis. Bob Beach, I now have homework. I need to go and stand in my bedroom where the minis are and start barking commands and see what happens.
Yeah. And by the way, the original HomePod is known for sometimes getting stuck, some Wi-Fi issue or something, and you have to reboot it and then it works again. That was one of the issues the original HomePod had.
Yes. And Apple's actually made that worse, because you used to be able to force the OG HomePod to an 802.11n network, and they took away the ability to do that. So, so now mine is on an AC connection all the time, Yeah, I've noticed that my reliability issues have increased dramatically.
Yeah,
I mean, my problem is so bad that I actually, when you could force a HomePod to a different network, I broke out the old Airport Extreme and set up a network just for the one HomePod.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could do that, but. Yeah, it's actually one of the reasons I'm considering replacing my HomePods.
One other thing to think about, because during this conversation, I've realized that there's a HomePod mini in the office, which is right there.
Do you see it? Yeah.
There is, but the other HomePod Mini is in the bedroom, and the HomePod Mini in the bedroom never gives me any trouble. Now, I don't use it as often, for obvious reasons, but I've noticed more that those issues of, you know, something's taking too long really do seem to be with the office HomePod. I'm gonna switch them out when I have a chance and see. I have to wonder if that might be, and maybe one HomePod is just not quite parsing things sufficiently or is not communicating as well.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. So anyhow, Siri to program your apps for Apple's headset.
So, still needs some work.
Still needs some work. You know what doesn't need work? TSO Host, because it just works. TSO Host is awesome. And what makes them awesome first is that they offer high quality web hosting, and they have solid bandwidth, and they're great at helping you buy the domain names you need. What also makes them awesome is that they're incredibly generous and they're supporting the British Tech Network. They're giving us the hosting space we need, and they're giving us the bandwidth we need. That means we have a place for all the shows recordings to live, so you can watch or listen at your leisure. There's a place for the website to live, so you can go and actually find the website. And they're giving us that bandwidth so that we can live stream shows like this, where I bring up a topic and then I immediately just take us off the topic because, you know, whatever. But they're giving us that infrastructure we need. Without TSO Host and their generous support, we would not be able to do what we do. So we're really, really thankful that they're here helping us out. Now, what they're asking for in return, super easy. Just go out on social media, whichever one is not dead at the moment, and and let them know that you appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. There's a bonus, though. If you need to buy a domain name, if you need to have some web hosting, they are going to help you out too because you're a BTN fan. So here's how this works. You buy your domain name, you buy your hosting, whatever. It's all in your cart and you're ready to check out. Use the discount code BTN20 and you're going to get 20% off your order. So that is absolutely awesome, incredibly generous. And we really appreciate that TSO Host is here to help us out. So thank you, TSO Host. I also appreciate that Patrice is here and is so wonderfully patient that every single week when I say, hey, can you tell people where to find the chat? She always says, of course.
Of course. Patrice,
thank you.
Of course. Yeah. We have a really cool live chat, and today we have some really nice people in there. Like we have Bob Beach, and we have Muller Biker, and I see like some Ben Rathick guy, and some Chuck.
That dude sucks.
Jeff. Yeah, and I'm guessing Dave is also in there. And I'm in there. Like it's just a really cool place to be, and if you want to be there too, then you can do that. It's very, very easy. All you do is when we are recording, which is every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Also, by the way, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you're into the non-Apple side of tech, like all the space and cars and Windows and Android and whatnot, like everything else, literally stuff. And then you just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and click the button and you're in. Like you literally don't have to enter anything, just say join. Done. And then you can talk to us and see all the cool links and like literally everything. But let's say you're listening to this after the fact, after our recording, after our live show in your favorite podcast player of choice, which is totally fine. This is why we do it. Like this is why we record it. And you're like, I would really like to know about that cool article that Jeff posted or the cool thing from Chuck that we're about to hear about. Not to worry. Very easy. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you have to select the date because we can't guess which show you want to know about. So you put in today's date as of recording, which is the 27th of January 2023. And then you can see literally everything we've talked about. And as we said in the beginning, don't click any links Bullet Biker is posted. Just safer that way.
That's just good life advice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Thank you, Patrice. You rock. And Ben, I said in the chat, but I'm going to point it out for everyone that may not be in the chat. It's crazy. You're completely in focus except for your face. Witness protection program. Mm-hmm.
It's classified.
It's classified. Yep. I know. You could tell us, but then you'd have to kill us.
It's got some light coming on him.
Yeah. Oh, see, you shift just a little bit and then you're in focus. So stay right in the center and you're anonymous and no one will know that it's actually you on the show, which I could completely understand why you would want to do that. Yeah. Anyhow, it's time for the cool thing. Who has the first cool thing?
I can go.
All right.
I got it. New show. It's on Apple TV Plus. It's Shrinking with Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, executive producer Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso. This looks like a pretty awesome show. It just debuted today
as we
record this. Check this out. It's especially Harrison Ford's in it. It's getting rave mm-hmm. reviews, and it looks like a really great show. So I'm gonna go grab yeah. watch it right. I think the first two episodes are already posted. I think they're doing them incremental. So
also directed, or it's part at least a couple episodes directed by Zach Braff, which you Zach might Braff, know that's from. Right. From like Scrubs and he's done Ted Lasso and quite a few other shows. He's yep. he's a good director. So,
yeah, this looks like a great show. I'm looking forward to watching it, to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have to watch it.
Just kidding. It's on my list. I didn't realize it came out today. So
today was the release day. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you probably just took up. How long is it? An hour an episode? Yeah, you probably just killed an hour of my day. So thank you. In a good way.
Welcome, Patrice.
Patrice, you got your pick in pretty quick, too. So okay, let's do yours. I go next?
So my cool thing is this little thing. Let's see. I can put it in I hold it in the camera. It is my new second-gen AirPods Pro that I just got earlier this week, I think. I've been waiting for it, like to buy them for a little while. I was always like, oh, I mean, like the first gen that I have, they're pretty good and they're still working. And yeah, I didn't want to order them. But this is my birthday present, basically an early birthday present. Well, my birthday's only next month. I mean, the batteries were going like very slowly on the old ones. And I was like, okay, maybe it's, and then the case is full. I was like, okay, maybe it's time now. So I got these. I'm very, very happy with them. What I did not appreciate, despite the fact that David, I think, mentioned it and so many other people, the noise cancellation on the new ones is crazy different.
There is.
Like the old ones were pretty good and you were all like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And then you put on these and you're like, uh-oh. Wow, this is another leak. Like, I mean, when I walk outside, I turn on transparency mode because I want to actually hear what's going on. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to test this and turn them like on to full noise cancellation. And there's like a car, there's cars driving next to me. And all I hear is like a little hiss, like, and that's it. And I'm like, wow. And wow. There's like a truck driving by, same thing. Like you barely even noticed there was a car. If I hadn't seen the car, I would have completely missed it. It's that good. So I'm actually quite surprised how much better they are. Like I thought, okay, well, it's an incremental update despite what everybody else has said. But once you experience it, you're like, okay, it is different. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still HomePods. Sorry, AirPods.
Wait till you get on a flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to do that next month. So
yeah, I don't
part of the reason why I bought them.
I don't even use my my Bose QC35s mm-hmm. anymore because why lug around a big heavy headphone when I got these and they're the same thing.
All right, that says a lot right there.
Because I had the original still, I sprung for the engraving thing. Yeah, engraving. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Memoji.
And I got my Memoji because why not?
That's awesome.
That makes like instead of getting them next day, I got them whatever 10 days later. But I didn't care. Mm-hmm. I was in no rush. So
Patrice, really good. The Memoji engraved mm-hmm. on the case. Mm-hmm. I've been told that that's actually now like part of the chip in the mm-hmm. in the case. So yes. Your face shows up.
Yes.
In different apps that give you information about your
correct. HomePods. Yeah, and when you connect them, it actually shows you when it shows the spinning AirPods case to connect them to pair them and all of that. It actually shows your whatever you've picked as an engraving. So that's actually pretty cool. What I also didn't appreciate as much is that how much of a difference the speakers in the case actually make. I haven't lost them yet, which will happen because there was a problem that a couple of times I lost them and I knew they were somewhere in my apartment, but I had no clue where. And yeah, they don't play any sounds. When you have the AirPods in your hand and you're missing the case, then there's no way to find them again. So the speaker actually makes a difference, but it also makes a difference when you, for example, charge them because they make that little charging sound and stuff like that. Yeah, and that
nice.
You wouldn't think that's a big difference, but it makes a difference because you know it's charging.
Well, every other device I have when I set it on a wireless charger makes mm-hmm. a sound.
Yeah.
Except for my AirPods Pro first gen case.
Yeah. Yeah. MagSafe case as well, by the way. So it works with the MagSafe. I mean, it actually worked before with the old one. I actually also worked with the MagSafe charger. But it's just Qi charging, basically. But those are actually MagSafe. So. Yeah, that's really good. I mean, not cheap, but good investment.
Awesome. Right. Now I want to go buy a new pair of AirPods.
I know.
Buy your new Mac before you buy your AirPods.
Yeah, exactly. Buy your new Mac. It's more important.
I agree. I think what I need to do is sell my 2019 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Yes,
go for it.
And just use that to invest in a newer Mac.
Absolutely.
Good idea.
Jeff, yeah. That MacBook Pro, it's a fine machine, but unless you have a need for it, sell it because the price is just going down as we speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I can get like $1,000 for it.
He's got that
Ben, why haven't you bought me my new computer yet? I'm kind of pissed at you about this.
He's just showing off his credit card, but never buying anything with it.
I don't know what that bank is. I've never heard of that bank.
Yeah, I think it's a fake card because he never buys anything with it.
It's a Colombian card.
Yeah. Ben, speaking of you and your Colombian cards, tell us about your pick, which, by the way, is another good pick.
This is a pick I did not expect to make because, quite frankly, this is a follow-on to a movie which I thought was actually kind of boring. This is Willow. It is the kind of medieval fantasy adventure from Lucasfilm. Back in the 80s. It was the 80s, right?
Yeah, I think it was the 80s.
Yep. Before my time.
Yeah. But there's a story of Willow, played by Warwick the Ewok Davis, where he goes on an epic quest and meets interesting people to save a baby from an evil sorceress. And becomes a legend himself. Yeah, have you heard that storyline before? On every RPG ever made?
Well, to be fair, this is every fantasy movie. There's one plot. You have the quest to save the thing.
Yeah.
And you meet orcs and trolls along the way.
Yeah. The with the sequel, all the people that were originally involved in the quest are now in their upper years. The baby and the children of the two main warrior characters are now adults. They must fight their own evil. And I have to say, you don't have to watch the movie to see the show. They fill you in along the way. I really like the direction where it's at. It's designed much more for modern art audiences. Music plays a much bigger role. I just found myself hooked. I like the characters. I like what they did to the returning characters. I liked how they got around not being able to have Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd go over well in that movie.
No. But it takes what worked with the movie and fixes the things that didn't.
It's a great series. I watched the whole thing. I am also a fan of the original movie. It's a silly fantasy movie. It's like one of the first Ron Howard directed. And it's just a wonderfully silly, fun movie. And the series, it's like, holy crap. They took the same universe and said, all right, now let's play it super serious. And it totally works. It's a great series. I'm looking forward to season two. This is not a spoiler. It's supposed to be three seasons. And after seeing the end of season one, I cannot wait to see what happens with season two. And I certainly hope that they do season three as well. Yeah, it's a great show. Yep.
And I do have to say, I really, really liked the comic relief character more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, they wrote all the characters really well and got the right actors for each part, and it paid off. Yeah, it's on Disney, right?
Mm-hmm. Disney Plus. Yeah. Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance they will do this third season. It's not Netflix.
Right, it's not Netflix. So we have a very high likelihood of getting all three seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Chuck, you haven't done a cool thing yet.
I was waiting because everybody's so anxious to jump in. It's like, I'll just sit back here and coast along. So I'm getting ready to go to a company meeting next week where we are going to be soliciting ideas and responses from the audience. And the thing that I've been working with this week is a service called Poll Everywhere at polleverywhere.com. I don't know if we've all had some experience, I'm sure, with, you know, these audience response systems. Especially now using your smartphone. Before, you used to have dedicated devices. Now you have your smartphones. Poll Everywhere is what we're using because a couple reasons. It is very robust. It's not hyper expensive, especially if you're just buying it like for a month or two for an event, but it's also not inexpensive. You can find cheaper services, and frankly, they operate and look cheaper. This has a really nice selection of the type of questions you can ask. Everything from just your basic multiple choice out to word clouds or just open responses. It will allow you, if you embedded it in Keynote or Gasp PowerPoint, then you can display those responses and they appear in real time up on the screen, which also the audience loves. It will let you change your answer so that if you decide, you know, it's not one of those casted once and then it's set in stone. You can delete your answer and go back and revise it. Maybe based on what you're seeing, you know, on screen or just because you've changed your mind. One of the killer features, though, they have an app and it's a fine little app. But if you're if your audiences are not maybe as responsive or don't like to install apps or whatever, you can also simultaneously run that poll in a web browser. So you have a specific link that you go, you can tell your audience, you can, if you have the app, great. If not, just open your browser, go to this, and you can participate in exactly the same way. Responses come up exactly the same way. It also archives all those responses in its systems for you to then go back and pick out and analyze and use later. There is a little bit of a learning curve. The interface is just a little shaky from my perspective, because it feels like you have to go to different places to do different things. Like, I have to create the kind of question I want here, but then I got to go to another screen to edit the question, but then I got to go to another screen to review the question. And if I want to edit the question, then I go back to the edit screen to come back to the review screen. It would be nice if we're all on one. Mm-hmm. That said, though, I have not found one that's more powerful and that presents as nice. One last little thing. You can customize all the colors. So you can change your background. You can change, like for a bar chart, you can change the bar colors. You can change text colors. So you can sync it up with your company's logos or your events logo, excuse me, colors. You can also insert logos. It is very cool because right now, if I were to give you the link, you would go and you would see a wait screen that I've customized for the event. And, you know, it'll be starting soon. Once I trigger the presentation, I insert the slides into my presentation using an app. Then as I'm running the presentation, if somebody goes in early, they're sitting there looking at the wait screen until my first question comes up. And then the first question appears in their web browser or on their device, on their phone.
When you say bar colors, those are usually either red or black.
Yeah, well. But, you know, if
usually it's like reddish light in the beginning, and then at some point when you've had too much, it's black.
Yeah.
And then at the very, very end, it's white because they turn on all the lights and kick us out.
That's true. That is so true.
But, you know, it is such a well-done app with all these mm-hmm. little things. It's too bad it's just not a little easier to access all of them. But if you just spend the time and if you care enough, you can definitely, you know, customize anything to your liking. So if you have the need, by all means, you know, if I remember correctly, you have a free period, or there's a limited subset of apps, capabilities to use. But if you want to get the full flavor, spend the money, buy it for a month and see if it does what you want. I think that, you know, depending on your demands, it will do it. So pollEverywhere.com. Mm-hmm.
I've used that too for our company. We've used a Slido, Slido. So very similar to.
Oh, it. There's a million of them.
There's a billion of them. Yeah, there's been. Yeah. You know, SurveyMonkey does it, all those other ones. But
no, Mentimeter.
This looks cool.
It is.
I've used this one too.
Oh, have you? Okay, good, Jeff.
And I agree with the interface. We ended up using it for the Q&A part because we were doing a. So this, of course, is pre-COVID, doing a live presentation that was also being live streamed. And so we just gave everyone the URLs, never said anything about apps. And so everyone got to be part of the Q&A. And instead of asking people to raise their hands and talk in the room, everyone submitted through the Q&A thing. So it just worked so smoothly. It was really slick.
Yeah, there's one out there, and I can't remember it, and it's probably good because I'm going to pick on it a lot. It was very, very inexpensive, might even have been free. But it just was so hokey looking and so childish looking that, yeah, this would be great for a seventh grade class, but, you know, for a business, no. Mm-hmm. You know, this, you can make this as professional as you want to make it.
Awesome pick. These are all awesome picks. Okay, so my pick this week, I just changed. And that's because I was expecting every single one of you to pick the one that that I chose not to pick because I thought you would all pick it and none of you did. So now I have to pick it. And that's Ivory, the new iOS and iPad Mastodon app. So with Mastodon really gaining traction, thanks to Elon Musk, we've seen all of these Mastodon apps popping up, and Toot is fantastic. Absolutely love it. Ice Cubes is fantastic. Absolutely love that one too. The Mastodon native app, it's fine, but it's not like these other apps. And so I felt like, okay, we've got these two amazing apps, and we know that Tapbots is working on their app. So we really need that one to come out. And it did just a few days ago. And it's wonderful. So now I'm at the point where I have three favorite Mastodon apps. So that would be Toot, Ice Cubes, and now Ivory.
I have about 10 because I'm about 10 betas as well. And they're all great. And they're all great for different reasons.
Like, exactly. It's
really interesting. Like there's Mona, for example, from the Spring guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ice and Kelt. There's a bunch like Wooly. There's a bunch of independent. Like there's right now a run on Mastodon client. There's like, I mean, for anything, any flavor you want, anything like that is how you want it, there's probably a client for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. It's awesome.
Yes. Yes. And what we're seeing is that these different app developers, they're inventing features for Mastodon. Mm-hmm. And which is something we saw in the early days of Twitter apps. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see these features now that they're being defined by the app makers start to roll back into actual Mastodon, which means that just overall, the experience gets to be better for everyone.
Yeah.
Ivory.
The one that's not coming back is Twitterific, or like not in a Mastodon version, because I think they said they want to do something more than just an app.
Plus, I'm
really looking forward to seeing what the Icon Factory people do.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, do you really want to use an app called Masterific?
Well, this one could have been Masterbot.
Uh-huh. Or Donnerific.
Which is why it's Ivory.
God.
Uh-huh.
Just saying. Yeah,
and so that's our show, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. Ivory. I almost said Masterbot. Ivory is $15 a year subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a $25 option, which is if you just want to pay them more to help out, you can just do that too, which I think is great. And so in comparison, Toot was $3 or $4, and yes. Ivory, no, not Ice Cubes is like a donation. They have different donation levels. It's like a couple bucks, $5, $10. Mm-hmm. So whatever app you decide you want, go ahead and make sure that you're paying for it, because these developers need to know that we're out here supporting them. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, Ivory, that's the latest one to try out. And with that, since I guess we're wrapping up with Mastobots and Ben's credit card. Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on MySpace, app.net, Google+, and all those other convenient social networks of choice at Ben Raythig. You can also find me at my interim site, raythigtech.blogspot.com.
Awesome. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also the Big Show on Thursdays. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, including Mastodon. I think there's even a Twitter thing on there, but honestly, don't use it. Like, I never check it. All of that on thepatrice.com. That's my website. redirects to the actual domain, but nobody can spell my last name, so thepatrice.com, easier. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related memories and stories, head over to foodieflashback.com for my other podcast.
Awesome. Ah, Foodie Flashback. I'm hungry. Thank you for
reminding me. Too.
Yes, I'm going to eat after the show. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find everything that I'm doing and all these great people I'm talking to. Right now, we're still publishing interviews done at C3. And I would tell you that they're short form. So it's like walking through C3, stopping at our booth, listening to what a vendor has to say, and then moving on. But if you don't care for the one that pops up first, just move to the next one, because they're all really, really interesting, depending on what your focus is.
And there's about a million of them by now.
Well, not quite, but there's
machine.
You're a machine. Exactly.
The machine will continue through next week because we have them lined up.
They're great. I'm listening to all of them, even if I don't care about the product. I'm listening to all of them. They're great.
Good. You know what, Patrice, it's funny. You know, sometimes the booth you stop by and think, I'll invest a couple minutes, and it just ends up blowing you away. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, that suction cap gel thing is so far my favorite.
Okay, so there you go. I know that was one of those, like, really? Why not? You know, and then you talk to him. It's like, yeah, this is cool. I need one of these two.
Me too.
So, yeah, I need one of everything Chipolo makes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Tuesday nights, we do Mac Voices Live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. And you can join us in the chat room there and on pretty much any social that is still in existing. I am at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices, one of the two or both. Thank you.
Awesome. And Chuck, as Dave said, you are a machine. The amount of content you put out for CES is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeff, it's a target rich environment. You know, so and why people go and don't take advantage of talking to all these amazing companies is just beyond me. You know, they're all anxious to talk to you. Why not go and talk to them? My biggest problem is that, you know, the show floor keeps closing at night.
Yeah, I agree. That's a problem.
Time of the day.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Dave, where can people find you?
You could find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. You could also find me on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I am on MacVoices Live on Tuesday nights with many of us here. And you can find me on Mastodon at the Mastodon Cloud at the Dave G65. And thanks for having me.
Jeff, where can we find you?
Well, you can find me hanging out at my computer trying out Mastodon clients. And Ben's Colombian credit cards. Yep. But when I'm not doing that, you can find me on the socials as Jay Gamut. Just so everyone knows, even though my Twitter account is still there, I haven't been on Twitter since Space Karen shut down the APIs for third-party apps. But I'm active most on Mastodon and Instagram right now. And let's see. So then podcasts, Tuesdays, most of them on Mac Voices Live with Chuck. And then Thursdays on The Big Show. And then most Thursday evenings with Dave on In Touch with iOS. And then here on Fridays on the Mac Show, and then also on the Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, and then other stuff as it comes up. So I get around. Wow, it has been so great to hang out with all of you this morning. I just absolutely love kicking off my weekend with all of you. It's just the best. And all of you that are watching, listening live, thank you for being here. And if you've been participating in the chat, thank you for participating there too. You are all absolutely awesome. Everyone that tunes in to watch or listen to the recordings later, so glad that you were part of this as well. And Muller, thank you for herding kittens so that we have people for the shows. Ewan, thank you for just being Ewan. And TSL hosts, thank you for being here to support us. Give them some online love, please. All right. Next Thursday is the big show. So tune in again with us for that. Join us again next Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.